say the words, "Today there will be a substitute." And depending on upon whom you're speaking to, you will get a couple of different reactions. If you are speaking to a group of, say, junior or senior high boys, their faces will light up. Because a substitute generally doesn't know the system, sometimes doesn't know the students, and trouble is certain to ensue. Don't ask me how I know this. Say that, though, to a fan of, say, a professional sports team, like the Pittsburgh basketball team. Oh, wait, they don't have a basketball team. The Pittsburgh professional baseball team. Oh, wait, they don't have a professional baseball team. Say that to a fan of the Pittsburgh Steelers that Troy Polamalu is not starting today. There will be a substitute. And faces don't light up. They rather, oh, rats. In both cases, the reaction is to the same cause. The substitute probably doesn't have the same skill, abilities, or advantages that the regular one does. Unless you are saying that to a person, though, who is facing the judgment of God, and you say, "Today there will be a substitute." Ah, now we have a chance for someone who is better, not worse. As we come in our study this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 25, I've entitled this Abigail the Substitute. And I want you to read along with me here this morning. She is a beautiful picture of the substitute that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is just amazing how the analogy works. Read along, 1 Samuel chapter 25. "And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran." The story begins on a rather somber note. Here this Samuel, this godly man, has now reached an age where it is his time to go and be with his Lord, his God, his Savior. And what is really devastating to David about this is Samuel is the last of the judges. The whole kingdom now is being subjected to the absolute rule of a wicked king by the name of Saul. There will be little justice. And any influence that Samuel had in restraining Saul from going after David is now departed. And David is really going to be out on a limb. And consequently, he moves as far away as he possibly can into a wilderness area of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. And the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and Nabal is a Hebrew word which literally means a fool. I wonder how in the world his parents were thinking the day this young man was born. Hey, wonderful, let's name him Fool. But that's what they named him. And the name of his wife, Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish. The word there means very difficult to work for. He was an ogre. And evil in his doings. And he was of the house of Caleb. Caleb, as you remember, most of you will know, was one of those wonderful saints of God that was used in the Exodus. And a godly man along with Joshua, who was instrumental in settling the land of Israel, the promised land. He was a very, very godly man. And the question would be, how in the world did this fool come from the line of such a godly man? Well, the answer is simple. Sin. Sin is passed on down through the generations. Godliness can be, but it's not automatic. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep, and David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, "Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name, and thus shall you say to him that lives in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes. For we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. David and his men had apparently provided a service for Nabal's shepherds. A couple of weeks ago in our study, we noted how the Philistines had come down. There was a bunch of marauders, and they were attacking the people and taking off with their goods. Well, David's men went out, and they basically became armed guards. And while these shepherds were out in the field, they protected them. And now the time has come where it's time to shear the sheep, and the prophet would be coming in to Nabal. And David says, hey, look, I'm out here in the wilderness. There's not too much out here in the way of providing for our needs. We need some help. And here's a man who is living in prosperity. Here's a man who I've done service for. He owes me big time. He sends a number of young men up and says, look, we have a need here. Help us out. Verse 9, and when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? Who does he think he is? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? A bunch of marauders out there, a bunch of vigilantes out there, have no real affinity, no loyalty to their country. Here's a guy who's breaking away from King Saul, and after all, Saul's the king. He needs to remain loyal. Well, David wasn't doing that at all. But let me read this again with a little bit different emphasis, or if you prefer, emphasis. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it to you? It's mine. And you're not getting any of it. So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword, and there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial, a statement meaning he is an absolute bozo. That's the Hebrew word. He's worthless. That a man cannot speak to him. You can go up and you can reason with him, but he's not listening. He simply doesn't want to hear. And though your arguments may make absolute sense, he's not listening. Then Abigail made haste, took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me, behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained unto him. And he hath requited me evil for good. so and more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall, any of the males. He's going to wipe them all out. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, unto me, my Lord, upon me, let this iniquity be. Now understand here, Abigail is completely innocent. But she is willing to take upon herself the sins of another. I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. He was rightly named at birth. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies, and they that seek evil to my Lord, be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it be even given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. Wait a minute. She didn't have one. Oh, wait. She was acting as a substitute for Nabal. Let the trespass of thine handmaid for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. Yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul. But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thy handmaid. She comes to him and she says, David, look, I know what's going on here. One of these days, God is going to put you in the position as king. It's not happening now. I understand the problems that you're having with Saul, but I understand that you have been anointed. You have been, by Samuel, anointed to be the king. That will be your office. And one day, God is going to do what he has promised. And you do not want to enter that office having blood on your hands. You don't want to look back and say, well, I got even, but look what it cost me. You see, David had the just right to go after Nabal. He provided a service. It was right for Nabal to repay David. And even if it wasn't a service, out of the goodness of Nabal's prosperity, he should have said, look, you've got a need. You're God's anointed. You should have these things. David could have rightly wiped them out. But his wife interceded and said, don't do it. Here is an offering. Accept my offering and forgive my sin, which is the sin of my husband. And David said to Abigail, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with my own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hast hasted to come and meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said unto her, go in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. Not only did he accept her offering, he accepted her. Very important. By the way, it was her and her alone. What's so important about that? Why was he willing to accept her? It's because she was rightly related to Nabal. If a servant would have come and said, "Look, you're going to wipe out my master. Take this." Well, it's not Nabal. It's not his stuff. But when Abigail comes, she is identified with Nabal. And yet perfectly innocent. And she took of her own and said, "Take this. Receive it. And remember me." Very important. I'll tell you why in just a second. Oh, well, maybe I'll tell you now. It stopped David in his tracks. He could have come, and like he had said to Moses, or like God had said to Moses years before, "I'm going to wipe out this people." David could have come and said, "I'm going to wipe out this Nabal and his household. Start all over again." And they were all spared. All of them. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. She comes and she says, "Honey, got to tell you what I did. You know those messengers that came from David and you said, 'Bug off, I ain't giving you nothing.' Well, I want you to know I wrote them out a check. And the check wasn't for just a couple of dollars. It was a biggie." Why did Nabal's heart die within him and he became as a stone? It's because of how I emphasized verse 11. "Shall I take then my bread and my water?" And I can just hear him, "You did what?" He had no regard unto the justice of David. He had no regard unto the continuance of his own life. His life was bound up in his material possessions. And I guess he thought if David would come, he could just call his servants and say, "Defend me," and they would be put down. But the fact of the matter is, 400 men were coming against him, trained in the warfare, and he was a dead duck. And his heart died within him. And he became unmovable. Never did he say, "Thank you, honey. You were smart. I was stupid." Never did he say, "Praise the Lord for what you have done. You have provided for my life." All he could see was his loss and not what he could gain. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil, for the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, "David did send us unto thee to take thee to him to wife." And she arose, bowed herself on her face to the earth, and said, "Behold, let thy handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." Now, seems to me there was something in the Gospel of John, around the middle of the Gospel, where one night the Lord Jesus was in the upper room and he girded upon him a towel around him and he washed the feet of the servants of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? She said, I'm willing to be a servant to the servants, to humble myself, to be rightly united with the king. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with five damsels of hers that went after her, and she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they also, both of them were his wives, but Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Laish, which was of Galim. Here we have a picture of a beautiful woman interceding for a wicked husband, which speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, who left heaven's glory and actually came and washed the feet of the Lord's servants. But he humbled himself even more than that. He became obedient unto death. He had no sin of his own, but on the cross of Calvary, he took upon himself the sins of the entire world. As John the Baptist would say, "Behold the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world." Not just one person, not just a group of good people, but all people. And on that cross he died, for the wages of sin is death. And there he offered up his blood to the King of Kings, God in heaven, who accepted him and him alone and his sacrifice. God, who had every right to wipe out the entirety of the world, would look upon that blood of Calvary's cross and say, okay, I will withhold my vengeance. But it left every man with a decision to make. You see, not only did David accept Abigail's sacrifice and her person because she was rightly related to Nabal, but she was the only one who could change his heart. She was the only one who could go back and say to him, look, what you did was wrong, what I did was right, and get away with it. And all the men said, yeah, I know that one. But it's true. She could go back because of who she was and say to him, you can be rightly related to the king, even though you've sinned. But you have a decision to make. You don't have to be good in order to be saved. You have to be saved in order to be good. I've made the sacrifice for you. Will you accept it? Make it yours. Unfortunately, Nabal said no. His heart died within him and he became as a stone. All the others of her household were spared. Listen, folks, Jesus Christ died for you on Calvary's cross. He paid for your sins in full. That is the only thing that God, the righteous judge, accepts. Jesus was your substitute. And you can say, I don't care. This is my life. I'll do with it what I want, like my bread, my food, my servants. Or you can receive Him as Savior and have life in its fullest, as Abigail did, and her household. The choice is yours. Today there is a substitute. What are you going to do with him? Father, right now there might be one in this assembly who has never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to be his or her Savior. Today there might be one, Lord, that is saying, this is my life. I don't need a substitute. I can handle my own affairs. Look at how well I'm doing. I'm living in prosperity. Just as Nabal did. There might be one, Lord, who says, I can have a party and I am going to enjoy life to the fullest and I'll drink until I am out of my mind. Just like Nabal did. Not knowing there's a day coming when the righteous judgment of God will also come. And all their goodnesses, all their righteousnesses shall be as filthy rags. All the things that they think commend them unto a holy God will be like what the Apostle Paul said of his own goodness, as dung. But all those who place their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and His death at Calvary will find a substitute that paid it all. And Lord, I pray if there is even just one here this morning, that right now with their head bowed and their eyes closed, they might say, Lord, here am I, that Nabal, that fool. For I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But I believe that Christ died for my sins and I want Him now to be my Savior, my substitute. I want Him to come into my heart and clean me and restore me and make me in a right relationship with You that I might enjoy life to its fullest. And from here on out, be the person that You want me to be. Lord, accomplish Your purposes today through this message. In Christ's most wonderful substitutionary name, I pray. Amen.